Now, before I begin, I want to just highlight something. How many have seen the marquee outside? Right? What does it say? What? What? What does it say? Prayer is what? The world's best. Right? Okay, now, I hate to, you know, come in on and dive bomb in on you on this one, but the truth of the matter is, that's incorrect. Prayer is not for the world. Prayer is for us. Prayer is our link, our direct line to the Father. The world has no dialogue with God outside of the church. Outside of the message of the gospel, outside of the gospel. See, the gospel is good news to the world, right? Turn to John 3:16, and we'll start there this evening. John 3:16. And I'll tell you what we're going to do from here. Is everyone at John 3:16? Okay, I'm going to be quoting it from the King James. You read it from whatever version you have. Ready? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now, see, that's the message to the world, the gospel. So the world has no communication really with God outside of us. Amen. Everyone got that? Now, Miriam, are you here? Can you pass out those papers? One of the things that the Lord laid on my heart for as we move into 2020, where we're entering into this first month of 20, we're ending the first month of 2020. One of the most important things that the church needs to come to understand, and I think sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. You know, when we talk about prayer, people think prayer is like, you know, it's like a coverall. Like, in other words, oh, pray for me. You know, I'm having bad trouble. Pray for me, you know. And I go to Shira, Deacon Shira, pray for me. I'm having trouble. Or pray for me. Or people pass it around. I got prayer partners. But the truth of the matter is nothing wrong with prayer partners. Nothing wrong asking someone to pray for you. However, what God wants us to do in the body of Christ and what the body of Christ is starting to experience and starting to grow up. See, because the whole body, for those of you who don't know it, the body of Christ just doesn't consist of RLCC. We are a portion of the body of Christ. Everyone got that? The kingdom of God is not here. We are a part of the kingdom of God. Everyone understand that? So the body of Christ, by and large, is growing up. We're growing up to the area of understanding prayer, okay? Now, on Friday nights, I'm not doing a push here. I'm not trying to push. We're not trying to up numbers because that's not what it's about. On Friday night, we demonstrate corporate prayer here every Friday night at 7:30. This month, we started last week, and we're going to be going for 7 more weeks. We're going to talk about some principles of prayer. Because you see, it's very important that we understand how to operate and how to work in the format and the forum of prayer. Let me ask you this. How many of you want your needs met? Okay, put your hand up. Now, how many of you have prayed and got all your answers to all your prayers? Okay. How many of you have prayed and got 3/4 of your answers? Okay, a few hands. Okay, how many of you prayed and got 50% of your answers? Okay, a little bit better. We're doing better, Jackie. How many of you have prayed and got 30% of your answers? Okay, this is not a test. No, it's not putting nobody down. How many of you prayed and only got 10% of your answers to prayer when you prayed? Okay, by and large, I mean, people, once you get to a certain area, people won't get embarrassed. I don't want to say I only got 10%. But by and large, all of us, at one point or another, did not get all of our prayers answered, right? Can we all, how many, let's raise a hand. If you did not get all your prayers answered, raise your hand. And if you're not raising your hand, I'm going to come over there and cast that lying spirit out of you, right? Okay, now here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is, each and every one of us should and could have answers to every prayer. But here's the deal. We don't understand prayer. And what we're going to do this morning, tonight, rather, we handed you out a sheet. Now, everyone got a sheet? This is a sheet that we use on Friday night as a prayer focus. But what I want to do is I want everyone to turn, hold on to that. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're turning, I just want to share with you where we're going tonight. Well, the topic is prayer, but where are we going tonight in prayer? I live in a townhouse. I live in a tri-level townhouse, right? On my second level, I have a deck. Like right outside my kitchen and dining area, I have a deck. So from the ground area, I can see where I live. I can see down the block this way. I can see down the block that way. I'm on like a turn. I can see a little bit down that way, that way. But when I go up to the second deck, when I go up to my second floor and I'm standing on that deck, I can see a whole lot better. I can see way over on that side. I can see way over on that side. I can see, you know, I can see a lot of things from that platform. So what I want to talk about tonight is prayer has a platform. I don't know if you realize there's a platform that we need to approach in prayer. Because sometimes when you look at this focus, some people look at it and they think it's like, oh, it's a list, A, B, C, D, E, F, A, B, C, you know, and that's how you look at it. But what I want you to do is we're going to look in Ephesians. Is everyone at Ephesians? We're going to look and see what the Apostle Paul had to say, not only about prayer, but I want you to see the platform in which we are to be praying from. See, because once we get to that platform where we should be praying from, we're going to see more answers. We are going to become more effective. Everyone got that? So now, are you at Ephesians? Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 16. We're going to read verse 16 all the way to the end of that chapter, verse 23. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along. Okay, verse 16, let's read. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, Paul wrote this epistle, and we always call this the Ephesians prayer. How many of you are familiar with hearing it, and it's called the Ephesians prayer? Well, what the Spirit of God, this was a Spirit-directed prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, gave to Paul, the apostle, for the church in Ephesus. Now, what I want us to do, we're going to do a little word switching here. I want you to put yourself, we're going to insert ourselves in here. I'll show you what I'm talking about. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened, and I know what is the hope of my calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now listen to what I insert here in verse 21. I am seated, say that, I am seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave them to me to be the head over all things to me, the church, which is the body that filleth the fullness of him, that fills all in all. Now, notice how I made it personal. I made it personal. The Ephesians prayer was designed for the church to make it personal. See, because when you have it personal, then it becomes personal. You say, I'm full of wisdom. I'm full of knowledge. I'm full of understanding. And why am I saying that? Because the Word of God says that. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus, but Paul was also praying for the church in Nanuet, that the eyes of our understanding, right, would be enlightened, right? Now, that we may be able to comprehend, right? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. We are, verse 21, I am seated, you are seated far above what? All principality, power, might, and dominion. Doesn't that sound like a platform? So if we're on a platform, where's principalities, powers, and might? They're under our feet. So when we see these things, now I'm going to connect it to prayer in just a minute. If we are seated in that position, if I'm in that platform, if that's my platform, if that's your platform, and we are in prayer, then we are seated far above all principalities. So it doesn't make a difference what we see. It doesn't make a difference what's happening in the world. It doesn't make a difference of what's going on. We are what? Above it. Okay? But now you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, then you won't know it. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. How many of you ever started a job and they told you, come to the building, it's one of those big buildings in Midtown Manhattan. When you get there, can you just go right on in? Why not? Security. Okay, but security is there to make sure you are what? Authorized. So if someone calls down and says, give you a pass, they give you a pass, and then you can come up, right? And you interview for the job, right? So you had a pass to come up. So now you got the job, right? Keep this in mind. You got the job. Now they give you a card, an access card, or whatever you want to call it. So now you have access to do what? Come to that building. And, you know, some of you done it. You know, after a while, you've been doing it for years, right? So you're not even thinking about it anymore, right? You're not thinking about, I got to go past the guards. I got to go up to this floor. You're not even thinking about it anymore. Some of you are walking through with coffee in your hand, newspaper under your arm. You just walk right on through and just touch the little thing and then go up the escalator, right? Because you have access. But we have, in the spirit realm, we have in Christ access. We have access far above all principality, all power, all might. Say that. Say, I have access and dominion over all powers, over all principalities, over all might, and over all dominion, and every name that is named. So we were talking about that in the healing class that we just did a little while ago. What's that virus, coronavirus? That's a name, right? But that name is below us. We have authority over that name. You know, there's countries, right? North Korea. We are above North Korea. You got that? We're above the United States of America. We have the some of you are pausing like, did we do? Did we do? I don't know. I don't want to start anything. You know, the government. No, we have authority. And we're going to move into that in a minute. We're going to see something here. So now Paul is saying that, and we are seated. So you got to see yourself seated and all those things, what, under your feet? Because they're under Jesus' feet, right? If they're under Jesus' feet and he's the head and we're the head, body, and the feet. So if it's under his feet, the body's here, right? Is your body under your feet? Stand up. Everybody stand up. People going to sleep. Stand up. Let's do a physiological test. Now, everybody stand up. Stand up. Okay. Everybody, touch your head. Is your head above your body? Okay. Is your body above your feet? Oh, you can sit down now. There's losing some people there. The body is above the feet. If it's under Jesus' feet, anything, all dominion is under his feet. If it's under his feet, we're over it, Okay, everyone got that? But now move over to Ephesians, still in Ephesians. We're talking about a platform, a prayer, right? I'm going to show you where your platform is. Chapter 3, look at verse 14. Paul continues this same thought because he's talking about prayer here. But we're talking about prayer. He said, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts," how? "By faith, that you be" what? "Rooted and grounded" in what? "In love, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, depth, length, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with" what? "All the fullness of God." Verse 20, "now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," according to what? The power that's working in the bishop, in the pastor, in the elder, in the deacon, in the chickens, in us. That power is working where? In us. Now, if you have power in you, what is power designed to do? Power is designed to transfer somewhere. Right now, we have power. We have electrical power in this building. You know how I can prove it? We have lights on. You can hear me on this mic, and I can see what time it is. So we have power in us, but that power in us must be put to use. Amen? Now, listen to what Paul said here. He said it this way. I want to go back to this. Go back to verse 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the..." So if we're going to bow our knees, the only person we bow our knees to is the Father. Everyone got that? I don't bow my knees to anybody else. No person on this earth will I ever bow my knee to. But we bow our knees to our Father, right? But now let's keep, look what he goes. "On the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now, here's what I insert. "That he has granted unto me, according to the riches of the glory, I am strengthened." Say this to me. Say, "I am strengthened with all might by his Spirit in my inner man. Christ dwells in my heart by faith. I am being rooted and grounded in love. And because I'm grounded in love, I am able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And I know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I might be filled, that I am filled with all the fullness of God." Now, I want you to understand something. We're talking about prayer. Didn't get away from it. If we understand that we are full of the love of God, if we understand that we are full of the power of God in us, that's our platform. So when you're operating from that platform, now we can move into, remember, Paul was talking, he was praying that they would be able to move into these things. Now we're able to move into prayer. We're going to move into prayer from that platform. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? When you understand who you are, when you understand what you have, when you understand what you can do, you can become effective. You know, we're going to go to this in just a minute. How many of you have seen the movie The Lion King? Right? I like The Lion King. And I saw the cartoon a million times because my grandson played it back and forth one afternoon till I couldn't take it anymore. But anyway, but this one time I was watching it on the 110th time, I got an epiphany. I got an epiphany. You know, I realized, man, Simba, now think about this. Simba was heir to a throne, right? But his uncle, Scar, right, killed his father and cheated him out of it, right? So what happened? Simba did what? He got scared and what? Ran away. So he ran away from his kingdom. So while he ran away from his kingdom was suffering, right? Because who was in the kingdom at that time? Scar, and he made a deal with those hyenas. Those hyenas was messing up everything, remember? Even getting the women trying to work. Y'all didn't find anything yet? And then the female lions looking at the hyenas like they want to knock them in the head. But the kingdom was in disarray because Simba, the heir to the kingdom, was not in place. So he was off somewhere. Who was he with? Pumbaa and Timon. Now, one was a warthog, the other one was a meerkat. So their diet was what? Worms and grub and all of that. Meanwhile, Simba grows up with them, right? Makuta Matata, right? And I think sometimes the world has that view too. No, the church has that view, Makuta Matata. I'll do what the world does. Meanwhile, his kingdom was suffering. So here's the key. Here's where I got the epiphany. It wasn't until that orangutan, or what was it? Rafiki, he hit him. He was a baboon, right? It wasn't until he hit him in the head with that stick, because he told me, he said, you don't know who you are. That's what happened. He said, you do not know who you are. If you don't know who you are and where you come from, you will never know where you're going, right? So he hit him with the stick, and then he hit him a second time. He moved away. He said, you remember. But it wasn't until, here's what I'm telling about the movie, Lion King. It wasn't until Simba took his place, remember? Because they fought Scar and all that. But it wasn't until he got up on that mountain and on that perch, it wasn't until he roared that the kingdom came alive. Did you see that? The kingdom came alive because he was in place. Church, I'm here to tell you, this world is going down. This world is going in a direction that's been foretold. But when we get in place, here's what I'm saying. Prayer helps us to get in place. Each and every one of us are like Simba. We've been Makuta Matata-ing a lot. We got to get in place. When we get in our place, then things are going to start to change. Everyone understand what I'm saying? When we get in our place, the only place, and that, remember, I'm going back to what I said earlier. The world can't pray. The world doesn't know how to pray. The world writes songs about prayer. The world writes poetry about prayer. But they know absolutely nothing about prayer because they don't know who the person is of prayer. See, I like to say it this way. The Word of God is God's love letter to us. Would you agree? That Bible you have in your hand is God's love letter to us, right? But prayer is his voice. It's his voice to us and our voice back to him. God never intended the church to follow the world. God has always intended the church to pray for the world and to be the conscience of the world. Now, I want to share this with you, and then we're going to go right into this. Jesus prays for us. Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews, he's our faithful high priest. Jesus is not the faithful high priest over the world. He is the faithful high priest over his church. Everyone got that? Everyone understand that? See, because I want to get this all straightened out, because here's what happened. If you don't understand your place, if you don't understand the importance of your place, you'll never take it. Now, I'm sharing this. This is not a guilt trip. This is just what the Word of God says. So we understand our place. We understand we have authority, right? We understand now that the platform that we have, we are seated with Christ, right? We are far above all these things, right? Now, turn to 1 Timothy, and you got that paper in your hand, but turn to 1 Timothy, because the interesting thing I find is that the same author that wrote the book of Ephesians also wrote the book of 1 Timothy, the Epistle of Timothy, right? Now, let me turn there, and you turn there too, because I want you to see something here. This is very important. Because my prayer is that you would get an understanding and get to see that what we've been doing in the past, and if it hasn't been working, this may be one of the reasons why it hasn't been working. But if we grasp this, if we get a hold of this, then we're going to see some changes, right? Now, keep in mind what I shared with you. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Is everyone there? Now, let's read verses 1 through 3. This is Paul. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? For all men. Now notice he didn't just say some men, but all men. Now men there means also male and female. I want everybody to understand that, okay? It's not that we just don't pray for women only. We don't pray for women. We pray for men and women. Verse 2, for kings and for what? All that are in authority. Now that's a catchy one. Now that's catchy. Here's what happens to some of us. Oh, we'll pray all right, but I don't like the mayor of my town. I don't like the governor of my state. I don't like the president of the United States. I don't like that guy over in Iraq or whatever. I don't like. Did that say that? What did the word of God say? All men. All right? For all men. Right? Now, there's a reason that are in authority. For all that are in authority, that we may lead what? A quiet and peaceable life. How? In all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Think about this for a minute. And if you look at history, historically, we had some good, the world had some good leaders, the world has some bad leaders, right? Now, let's use one for example. I'll use Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler came to power in a small portion of his political party called the Nazis. They came to power and they kept ascending. And what happened was there were people around that began to get silent. Now, there was one man. I'm going to tell you this one man. I don't know if you ever heard of him. His name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Okay, good. He spoke out because he looked in his word and he had the authority and he spoke out and said, no, 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 this is wrong. This man is wrong. He goes against the dictates of the word of God. The Nazis had him incarcerated. They tortured him and he died a martyr. They tried to silence his voice. They figured if they could scare him, torture him, and then ultimately kill him, he would no longer exist. His writings, everything that he said, that he stood for Christ, lives on today. Where's Hitler? Nowhere. So what I'm saying is this. What would have, now taking a step back, knowing the church has this authority, what if the church would have prayed for that leader? The Bible's filled with people who've done despicable things, and they were leaders, but the word of God says we're to do what? Pray. Now, we're not praying and promoting what they do. We're praying for God. See, when we pray, remember I told you prayer is we get God's voice and we're voicing and God is voice. We're dialoguing together. We give God a way in to that place. It says in Proverbs, I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Proverbs 21, the hearts of the kings. What verse is that? It's in Proverbs, right? 21. The hearts of the kings. Is Proverbs 21? 21:1? Okay, thank you. The hearts of the kings are in the hands of the Lord. Now, if those hearts are in the hands of the Lord, remember I tell you, God has a voice? He speaks. But he speaks to the church. We need to pray. We need to stand in the gap for when evil men and evil women come to power. We need to stand against wickedness in high places. Paul says that in Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Though we don't war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said that in 2 Corinthians. Now, you have this prayer focus, right? Now, what I want you to look at what it said and look at what I just read. This was directed. I want people to understand it because some of you, maybe you're not familiar with what this is all about. This was given to us by the Spirit of God to pray on Friday night. Now, here's the thing. He gave us this, but also there's a reason for it. And what we found out as we begin to do this, I think we've been doing this now for what, 2 years now? 2 years doing this? What we've been finding out is when we've been praying this, we are invoking the word of God into these areas. We are speaking and agreeing with God concerning certain things. We're no longer sitting around looking at CNN and Fox and oh, man, that's bad. You hear what happened over there? Wow, that one. Or we got to get him out of order. Or we got to get her out of order. No, we're not doing that. But what are we doing? We're praying. We're going behind the scenes. Okay, and we're taking authority over the forces of darkness. Amen? So now, here it is. We see this. We have authority in our leadership, our government, executive, legislative, and judicial. Our states, governor, mayor, and other elected officials. Now, notice what the Spirit of God was saying. We are declaring what? Righteousness in our government. So what are we doing? We are speaking in. See, here's what prayer is too. Prayer is speaking, but prayer is also listening. But when God speaks, we listen. When we hear what he has to say and we speak that out, we give it life into this earth. Everyone see that? Everyone understand that? So now, as we move on, I just want to paint a picture. Once again, the platform we're coming from is the authority that we have. So when we speak these things with authority, what did they say about Jesus? They said when he was in the synagogue, they said he spoke as one that had what? Authority. They said the same thing about Daniel. Daniel spoke as a man that had authority. What should be said about us? We speak as people that have authority. Now, I don't mean being arrogant and, you know, mean-spirited to people, but having authority, knowing who you represent. That's very important, knowing who you represent. We represent the kingdom of God. So no matter where you find yourself, what strata you find yourself in, whether medical profession, health, education, retail, finance, whatever, no matter what strata you find yourself in, we represent the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, I want to move into another area here. I just want to take a step back. One of the things I want us to understand is when we have this platform, when we're moving into prayer, we are coming against the forces of darkness. Everyone understand that? But how are we coming against them? With the authority that we have. So when you know you have authority, you know you can speak it out. Guess what? Things are going to change. Now, let me just show you by example. I want to show you something. When we move into the Ephesians prayer, I'm just going to say it this way. When we pray from Ephesians, right? Ephesians chapter 1, right? And Ephesians chapter 3, those prayers that we just spoke about, when you pray from that area, when you start out in that area, then when you move into prayer, you're moving into an area that's a little bit higher. Because now you're here. And as you're praying, you're talking to who? God. We're speaking to God. We're speaking to him. And guess what? He's speaking back to us. Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you something that the Spirit of God gave to me. And also, too, I always encourage people, when you pray, always keep a journal. How many of you keep a journal? Let me see. How many of you don't keep a journal? Okay. How many of you, after tonight, are going to start keeping a journal? And I'm going to tell you, there's a reason for it. See, God has been speaking to us. How many of you, I mean, I'm talking to married people. They can understand this pretty much, and maybe other ones can catch on. How many of you, your spouse told you, they say something to you, you say, They say, I told you that before. Why didn't you, I wasn't listening, right? I was hearing, but I wasn't listening. So what I've learned to do is listen more intently to when my wife is speaking to me. No, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, I've learned. So that way, I'm recording, I'm listening to what she said. Well, when we're in prayer, God has been speaking to all of us. But those of you who haven't been writing it down, it came and went. You know, it came like a rushing wind, and then boom, it went out the door, and you never wrote it down. So let me show you what the Spirit of God gave me on January 7th of this year. He said it this way. He said, take authority. Once again, I said, remember, I started from praying from this platform. Remember the platform of prayer? The Spirit of God spoke back and said, take authority over the principalities assigned over the nation of Iran. And that's found in Ephesians 1:21 and Luke 10:19. Then I said, I take authority over the king of Persia, demonic force. Persia is really Iran. Demonic forces over the nation of Iran. And then it's Matthew 12, 29. I got the basis on that. We bind the activity over that nation and how they deal with other nations, especially Israel and the United States of America. We loose the life of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus over that nation. The church, the believers in Iran, will rise up to take their place in ministering the gospel. Now, that was on January 7th. Now, we know the thing happened and all that other stuff. But here's what I found out later when I was looking at another news broadcast. A few days after this, after I prayed this, there was the government of Iran wanted to bring a protest, remember, because the general and all that stuff. And what they did was they took a big American flag, put it on the street. And what they wanted the people to do was go and trample on it. And they had, I think they had something from Israel over there. They wanted them to burn that and trample on that. The people said no. People did not do that. You understand? You know why? We bound the strong man. The strong man was that demonic spirit that still has a hold over them. The people, did you know this? That there are millions of Christians in Iran? Millions of Christians. And what they had a picture, they were trying to show them stepping on the people, big, big square of people. They got mass people, and they make all the people come out there. A mass of people, and they didn't go in that spot. Only three or four people in that spot. Nobody went in that spot where the flag was. And then they showed a thing on a wall there about complimenting the United States in Iran after praying this. So what I'm trying to show you is that we have authority over these things. Now, let me read this out, this other thing, and we'll be closing this up. This is what the Spirit of God gave me. He said, we also bind the demonic forces attempting to influence our government. We bind the demonic forces over the media. You heard that? Over the media. The strong man has been exposed, and we bind him in the name of Jesus. I'm going to keep on going. Now, once again, this is directed by the Spirit of God as I'm praying. Our president has the mind of Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We dispatch the angelic hosts over our troops and workers in the Middle East and protect them from dangers seen and unseen. We bind the religious demonic spirits over the people of Iran and Iraq, and we loose and decree the light of the gospel of Christ would shine in their hearts. We speak over our nation. Now, once again, I'm as the Spirit of God has given me this, I'm praying it out, but I'm writing it down. We speak over our nation, the peace of God, the love of God, the unity of the faith. We speak, we are the United States. That's what I got as I was writing this in prayer. So what I'm trying to say is the platform. We're talking about the platform. When you get into a certain platform in prayer, when the platform becomes what we see in the Ephesians prayer, when we understand that we're above all principalities, all powers, all mights, all dominions, it takes on a different perspective. And then when you listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying, you listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Church, listen and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. He is saying some things to us. He is saying some things to you. Listen to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Listen, listen. He's speaking. He speaks very clear. He speaks spirit to spirit. Paul said that. He says, if I pray in a tongue, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. He said, howbeit, we speak mysteries, but then we can hear. We can receive the interpretations. We can receive from the realm of the Spirit over here. But once again, we stand in our authority. Amen? So say this with me. Say, I am seated with Christ Jesus. I am far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion. I walk in my authority. I will declare and decree what the Spirit of God says to me. I will speak what God's word says. I will believe what God's word says. I know who I am in Christ. And everything I speak, and everything I declare, and everything I decree that's in line with God's word, I shall receive. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Every head bow. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this message that you've given us tonight about the platform and prayer that we can have, that Paul has instructed us by the Spirit in Ephesians. And Father, I pray, I look across the room and I see wall-to-wall believers. However, if anyone's here and they've not made the choice, if they've not settled it once and for all, Jesus Christ, once and for all, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. If anyone's here tonight and they desire to make him Lord of their life, we will reverently and respectfully receive them right now. So if anyone's here, raise your hand that you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. If you receive them as your personal Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I want to encourage you in the days ahead. In the days ahead, there's going to be opposition in the days ahead. But Bible says, the word of God says this in Daniel. Daniel said it. But those who know their God shall do mighty exploits. And I'm saying it to you right now. I'm speaking out of the Spirit of God, out of my heart to you. There's going to be great opposition coming your way. But because you know who you are, you know what you have, and you know your place, each and every one of us will take our place. There's a place for each and every one of us in this local portion of the body. You have to take your place. I can't take it for you. You can't take my place. But each and every one of us has a place. So every head bowed. Father God, reveal and quicken to my brothers and sisters of like precious faith. If they're not in the place that they need to be with you, Father, help them. Help them, Father. And for those who are positioning themselves to get in place, fear not. Walk boldly. Be strong. Be bold. The Lord your God is with you. He will be with you with that decision you have to make in the next few days. Someone here has a situation that they have to make a decision. And right now, the Lord, the Spirit of God is saying, be bold. Be bold. The Lord your God, he's with you. The Lord, he's with you. He's with you every step of the way. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. And I hear the Spirit of God saying this, get in place. Get in place. Get in place to receive this grace. Get in place, church. Get in place to receive the grace of the Lord that will give you the victory in the days ahead. Get in place. Amen.